Joining me for maybe the third time we've lost count, it's Dr. Kate Howe, author based in my lovely state of South Australia now. I've actually returned to South Australia. That's why I'm sounding more relaxed. Joining us again, it's day one of the conference, and Kate, you've already given one presentation. You've got another presentation this afternoon. The presentation this afternoon you're giving is on confidence.
It is.
And so you are a GP and you're a psychologist and you counsel a lot of people via Zoom. And
I'm not a psychologist. Sorry? I'm a GP. That's all right. I can't, you know.
Yeah.
And rules.
Yeah.
I'm a GP with a focus on mental health and counselling.
Right. Yeah. And so you've counselled other doctors though.
Yes, many other doctors.
And so you do it via Zoom and from an office. Just firstly, is that difficult doing chatting through Zoom as opposed to face-to-face, or it makes no difference?
I think there is a difference. Face-to-face, I think it's easier to connect and you can observe so much more. But Zoom works beautifully as well.
Right.
I think we're used to it now since COVID.
Yeah, because it's live and you're interactive and there's no delay or waiting. But over the phone, I guess that would be harder.
It is a little bit harder.
Because you've still got the visual clues in Zoom. But yeah, so confidence. So recently you've sort of been inspired about the importance of confidence, or since you decided to focus on confidence. Tell us, what was the discovery there?
Well, I think, I do a lot of teaching and connecting with people, and someone that I've done some teaching with, I was having a discussion with him, and we were talking about particularly young people and even though they're getting on with their studies or their work, sometimes in the teaching we can pick up that lack of self-confidence and questioning why in particular are we noticing it now. But also many of the people I work with more from a coaching perspective rather than a therapy perspective, they're wanting to talk about perhaps directions in life and career choices and so on. And sometimes, again, that lack of confidence in self comes out in those discussions.
Yeah, of course, being in South Australia as well, we have to mention that our government is looking at doing the ban of social media for 14-year-olds.
Yes.
Which is quite interesting. And apparently Queensland government are very keen on it as well.
Yes.
I can't imagine how they're going to do this, but it's a serious thing. And you talk to a lot of people. They're very keen on the idea.
Yeah. And I think we have to question, why are we noticing it in a young people in particular, so late teens, early 20s, up to 30 and so on, what are the factors that might be contributing? And it is about in part about influences in life. So it's messages from family, friends, government, media, and of course social media is a big part of that. So we do have to look at what are some of the pitfalls with social media?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And so you've got some techniques for us, hopefully, to boost our confidence. You've got anything for us?
Well, in the talk this afternoon, yes, I thought, okay, how shall I sort of put this to the group?
Yeah.
So I came up with 10 catalysts to self-confidence. So, one is growing your self-awareness and just being aware of, how am I feeling? Confidence is a feeling, and it comes from, I suppose, our sense of self-worth or our thinking, our self-belief. So we just have to become aware of where would we put ourselves, for example, on a scale of 0 to 10 for our confidence level at the moment, where 0 is none and 10 is the best. Just be aware, how are you feeling in relation to, how you're presenting, when you're talking to people, talking to clients, if you want to step out and do something a bit different, how confident do you feel in yourself? So growing that awareness and, feelings and thoughts. And then that leads into the second point, which is manage your thinking, because a lot of our sense of confidence or the feeling of confidence comes from our self-talk. And, many people, have that inner critical voice. Most people I talk to in therapy or in coaching, or even in teaching, they will recognise that inner critical voice that we develop as we grow up.
So we develop that as we grow up. It's not fed to us necessarily by our peers or family members.
Well, it's through those influences.
Right,
yes, all of those influences. Family, friends, school, media, government, and so on. So it's that voice that it's often other people's words.
Yeah.
And we're often much more critical of ourselves than we would be of anyone else. We say things to ourselves we would never say to a friend.
Yeah, it's true, isn't it?
Yeah, so most people can recognise that thinking. And we have to learn to question it. You know, thoughts are there to give us information. They're not necessarily truthful, however, not based on reality always.
Yeah.
So we have to question, is this true? You know, where's the evidence? Can I think about it differently? And then reframe our thoughts so that it's not that they're happy, but they're a bit more realistic and balanced.
Mm. And I guess it gets confusing because when you do fail at something, then your brain goes, see, I told you, you just failed at that. And then you've got to have the mental faculty to say, no, that's a mistake I've got to be able to get up.
And everyone messes up sometimes. Everyone fails at things. That's life.
Yeah.
You know, we're not perfect. And that's one of the drivers too for that sort of inner criticism is a tendency to being perfectionistic, having high expectations of self. And certainly many medicos, you know, struggle with that.
Yeah, right.
That, you know, it works for them. It's how they've gotten to where they are. They've worked hard, you know, they've studied and applied themselves in work with high expectations. The downside is it has a toll on us.
Yeah.
So, you know, we need to work on that thinking. But also what happens, again, this is another catalyst, as we go through life, we develop stories about ourselves. It sounds strange, but we do. You know, you no doubt have a story about yourself in doing this work or a story about yourself with family or in whatever other interests you have.
Yeah.
That's just the nature of how we think about things, how we create meaning about ourselves.
Right, and create identity as well.
Yeah, and identity. Yeah, absolutely. So we might hold on to these really self-critical stories about ourselves or negative stories.
Yeah.
So we have to learn, again, to recognise they are a story. That's what we're doing. We're pulling together bits of information into one story. But there are always exceptions to that story or the negative stories. Because often we ignore the positive things that happen in that area.
When we should be looking for the positive.
When we should be looking for those exceptions. And, you know, they're like gold.
Yeah, and you mentioned about pulling in information to create these stories. Where we live now with social media, I figure this is what's going on. People have just got so much information coming in. You know, you can click and see your best friend dancing at a thing and look at me, I'm here. And so there's all this competition now. Whereas in the 80s growing up, I didn't know what all the other kids were doing.
No.
I didn't know that my friend was, you know, has got a new Xbox or on a holiday. We're just in our suburb on our BMXs.
Yeah.
So it's almost like they've got the whole world, all the other people in the palm of their hand.
And what's happened is the online world, there's a blurring with
reality.
The real world.
Yes.
So particularly for young ones. It's an extension of themselves.
Yeah.
So they find it even harder to differentiate. You know, whereas someone perhaps who hasn't grown up with it, you know, being so involved with it can say, oh, well, that's obvious. They've changed how they look, or they're presenting just one side of their life, you know. But sometimes other people can't, you know, who are very involved in that world can't differentiate that.
Yeah, that's really interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, and so just going back to your presentation, because obviously a few people will be listening to this possibly on the way to work or can't attend your presentation this afternoon. Yeah, so tell us a bit more about the presentation. Where are you going with this conference?
Well, the other catalysts are, number four, use your strengths. So we all have strengths. We all have a few what we might perceive as weaknesses as well.
Yeah.
But you know, if you identify your strengths, and you can even do questionnaires, like there's a VIA, as in V for vet, and I for intelligence, and A for apple.
Yeah.
VIA character strength questionnaire.
Oh, right.
And you might get some surprises about what your top strengths are. When I did the questionnaire years ago, my top strength was curiosity. And I thought, that's weird. But then when I thought about it, you know, what drove me in part into studying was curiosity, into writing, it was teaching curiosity, exploring ideas.
That's right,
and sharing that. We might have other strengths around being caring in nature or being a natural leader and so on. So get to know your strengths and use them, because we feel happier and it can help with our confidence. Very good for your kids and teenagers to get to know their strengths too. Number five, learn some skills, things like public speaking, how to be more assertive, those sorts of things can help. When I first started teaching, I actually went and had some coaching from a public speaking coach to really hone up on the necessary skills. Talking to a group of 20 or 200.
Or into a microphone right now.
Or into a microphone.
It's paid off, money well spent.
That's it. Number five, no, that was the skills. Number six, what's that? Act like the person you want to be. There's something in that, you know, it's the fake it till you make it. But the truth is, when we use our voice, when we use our posture to act like we, you know, to act confident, our brain doesn't really know the difference between we're acting versus it's real.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, right.
Yeah, so we will start to feel more confident when we stand tall and
And part of the youth demeanour at the moment, because I've got a few nephews in that sort of age, it is to be a bit cool and melancholic.
Yes.
And that's, I mean, that's kind of being cool, but it's also bringing you down. Like, brings me down. When I talk to my cousin, who was a young, bubbly little kid who was enthusiastic about building Lego with me, and it's sort of, it's brings the whole vibe down.
Yeah, it's true. And when I've seen, you know, teenagers as clients with anxiety, sometimes they've got anxiety about speaking at school or presenting, you know, even asking a question. And so we practice, you know, we practice standing up tall, looking at the person, speaking out. And once they learn those skills, they feel a bit better.
Yeah.
And also they get into that posture and so on. Number seven, use visualization. So if you have to do something like an interview, give a talk, visualise yourself doing it and it going well. Because again, we're laying down pathways in the brain for that to, you know, be how we act, but also we feel more confident because we have rehearsed it. The Olympians always rehearse things in their mind beforehand, before an event. Number eight, accept compliments. Sometimes it's hard to do that, but just say thank you.
Yeah.
Simple thing, but it helps. And nine, practice self-compassion. This is key. So people in the health professions are generally pretty compassionate because they want to help, they want to care. But we don't necessarily give that kindness to ourselves. We also need to be mindful of our thoughts, like we talked about before, particularly the critical ones, and recognise we are human. We will struggle with some things. So we just have to be compassionate like we would to someone else. And number 10, celebrate successes and keep practicing.
Yeah, that's right. That's great. Yeah. Okay, thanks so much for joining us. Hopefully you've got another book on the way eventually, because I know last time I saw you, you had a book.
The Women. Flourishing Woman.
And also, well, there was also the book that your son was involved in.
Yeah, The Changing Man. They're going really well.
Yeah, and so you are continuing to write books as well.
There's a few in the pipeline.
Oh, that's great. Well, thanks so much for your time and enjoy the rest of your conference, Kate.
Thank you.
Dr. Kate Howe, author and GP, practicing in South Australia, lovely town of Goolwa.